Am I making the same joke every week?
Yeah, probably, but it's okay, because I'm giving the same spiel every week.
It's episode 290 of the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. I am your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I preview the defense's special teams. Could this group of linebackers be the best in school history? And are the cornerbacks just as good and deep a group as the linebackers? We also talk about Taysom's Lambeau leap and emerging pass-catching targets for Tanner. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. You can get us on iTunes, you can follow us on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout, and you can listen to our 290th episode right now. All right, Matt. You know, we have a survey.
Survey says?
And you can find it in the show notes, but I thought I'd share one little thing from the survey. All right? So we have lots of... You can find our annual listener feedback survey. We've had, I think, 33 responses. So thank you to all those who have responded. Last year, we had 81. So this is going to be open for another 2 days. Okay? So this is... What? It's today the 13th when we're recording. So it'll actually be open another 3 days. It'll close on the 16th. So get your responses in. But at the end, so these were topics outside of BYU sports you want us to talk about. Okay? Are you ready? Here are the responses to that question.
Oh, where fantastic. It's
other, because a lot of people said talk about entertainment. They like that. They love it when we talk about food. They love it when we talk about college football. Quite frankly, not many people care for us to talk about the pros. So, and we've really scaled that back besides BYU.
Well,
guys
and we're also kind of Patriots heavy on that, right? So yeah, I can understand where people are coming from.
People love the Patriots. They love talking about how smart Bill Belichick is. So here are the four responses. All right? And these are just in the order that they're in here. I'm not doing this, but it's going to be pretty funny. All right? The first one is, don't mind most stuff as long as not too long a segment. Even MLB stuff is okay in doses. Thank you, whoever put that response in. Thank you. Next one, not so much. Hashtag baseball is lame.
Wait, there was a hashtag in their survey response?
In their survey response.
Yes.
Hashtag baseball is lame. Next one, soccer instead of baseball.
Mm.
And the last one, somebody wants to talk about more, Don and his mission to the Klingons. His LDS mission to the Klingons. So anyway, go ahead and in the show notes, go check out that survey. We'd love to hear your feedback. You will not, if you get to this through the Deseret News, it's not going to be in there. I don't want a bunch of you trolls filling this thing out so that the data is useless to us. So go ahead and you'll need to go to ajmangum.podbean.com. Or check it out in the show notes if you get it through any of the podcast services. So, Matt, let's jump into CougarFan.com, Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, number 8 women's soccer beat number 16 Oklahoma 1-0 on a goal by, I thought I had this window open, sorry, by, how do you say her first name, Brittain?
That's what I've always gone with.
Brittain Steiner. She had a goal. It was the Cougars' final exhibition game Friday night. The season starts against Penn State on the 18th, 7 o'clock. You can look at BYUCougars.com to find out when the Cougars women's soccer team will be playing and how you can watch the game. So anyway.
And they've got a pretty serious schedule this year.
They have a serious schedule and a team that I think can hack that schedule. Hannah Clark, goalie, we talked a lot about her last season. And obviously, they have lost some important players, but kept enough of that team around to be ranked 8th in the country. Matt, it's all about the NFL from here on out. So let's do Cougars in the Pros with the first pick in the NFL draft.
Sit down, Goodell.
Cleveland Browns select once again Johnny Manziel.
Oh man, they would do it again too.
Hey, I hear
they would do it again.
He's looking to get into coaching.
That's a terrible idea.
Who would hire him as a coach? I don't get it. I don't get it. So, Matt, Taysom looked good.
Yeah, he did.
First, he had a touchdown pass, and he leaped into the stands. A Lambo leap for Taysom Hill after his touchdown pass. It's pretty impressive so far. You know, is he going to make this team? I don't know, but it seems like he might.
I think he's going to make the team.
He was the last quarterback to play. Now, granted, Aaron Rodgers. Did Rodgers play? Or did I just see him in the... and Rodgers went nuts when he made the play. So people love Taysom.
Yeah, I don't think Rodgers played. Yeah, but people love Taysom, right?
Yeah, yeah. Why does Rodgers need to play?
Yeah, we already. Hey, guess what, Packers? You already know what you have there with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you need to show him.
He's gonna be just fine without that first preseason tune-up.
First tweet bag question of the day, Matt.
Tweet bag.
If you're interested in sending us a question, you can do so on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout. On Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout, or good old-fashioned email, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com, one word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. This question came in from Christopher Hill on Facebook. So now that Taysom Hill got picked up by the Packers, had a great first showing over the weekend, what are the chances of Hill winning a Super Bowl before BYU beats Utah next? Matt? Taysom Hill just has to make the roster and have the Packers win. He doesn't actually have to play to qualify for Chris's question here. What are the chances Taysom Hill gets a Super Bowl ring before we beat Utah again?
Well, you know, I look at NFL. I take that kind of one season at a time, right?
Yes, for sure.
So you're asking me if I think that the Packers will win the Super Bowl this year? I guess I could... Not necessarily, right?
Not necessarily, but in the next couple of years, and we don't beat Utah in the next couple of years. 0%, because we're beating them this year.
Wow.
0%.
That has not been your prediction.
I change all the time. I waffle. I'm a waffler.
So I don't know. I don't even know what number to put on this. This is a very interesting question.
I'd like to feel like the odds here are low. I think it's low. Because eventually we're going to beat Utah.
Okay? And I think it's easier for BYU to beat Utah than it is for any team to win a Super Bowl. Winning a Super Bowl is hard.
Correct. And there's obviously, the NFC is a tougher today in the next, probably the next few season. It's tougher to get out of than the AFC. In the AFC, well, we already talked about how we're not going to, hammer the Patriots home. But I think the Packers... Are a team that could win the NFC this year? Sure. But like you said, it's tough to win a Super Bowl. Matt Jamal also played in that game. The Packer running game looked pretty terrible, and Jamal had one nice run and a couple of not so nice runs. So I wouldn't make too much out of it.
Like we said, I mean, we're talking about week one preseason. Most of these guys aren't going to play. It's like Fournette who comes out and says, "Oh, yeah, this is pretty easy. After playing the SEC, it's like, dude, you're playing against a bunch of guys that aren't even going to be on an NFL roster in 8 weeks." What a
dumb thing to say. Now he's hurt. Did you hear that? He's nursing an injury. Yeah, I guess it wasn't so tough, Fournette. Bronson Kafusi for the Baltimore Ravens got a sack in his preseason debut, so good job for Bronson. And then a few other guys played, including saw a picture of Kai Nakua. So...
Yeah, kind of cool. Looked all right.
Yeah, so
I think Bronson just coming back and getting on the field. That's encouraging.
Yeah, it's a good story. So Matt, we've talked about it a couple times. You're running the New York City Marathon.
Yeah, all 26.2 miles of it on November 5th this year.
That seems long, Matt. That seems too long.
Yeah, my time there will be measured in hours. So we'll see how that goes. So yeah, I ran 30 miles this last week. 174 of my 617 training miles on my 18-week program are now complete.
You're saying these numbers, they seem too large.
So how about this? This week I will cross 700 miles for the year. But
I don't know if I've done that for my lifetime. Did I make that joke last time? Am I making the same joke every week?
Yeah, probably, but it's okay because I'm giving the same spiel every week. But as many of you are aware... I'm really looking forward to running in the New York City Marathon on November 5th, later this year. I'm raising money for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, remembering our brother Mitch, who we lost to suicide 25 years ago this fall. So I've committed to raise $3,500 for AFSP so they can continue with their mission, supporting families and people affected by suicide and promoting public awareness and good, smart legislation on mental health. So it's a good cause. It's a great organization that's done some good things. And it's kind of a dream of mine to run in a race like this. It'll be my first full marathon. So I got 443 miles left before I get to my 26.2. This week I will once again run further than I've ever run at once. So we'll see how this goes.
Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. The link to donate to Matt's cause will be in the show notes. And I forgot last week, but I'll actually in the show notes put the links. Matt has an Instagram account where you can see just shots of him running.
It's mostly shots after a workout or something.
So how do you get those ones where like you're running? Is your wife taking those shots or do you set the phone down or like?
So I've done a little bit of both.
Okay.
There was the one I posted Saturday after I had a kind of a long day on what was a shorter long run. And that my wife took that picture while I was laying in the driveway. But so usually if she's up, I'll do it or I'll prop the phone up and take it. I'll just go ahead and throw out this. We've had a couple people I've gotten notes from a couple people who listen to the podcast who've contributed to the fundraising effort. So I do really appreciate that.
Fantastic. And you can contribute up until October something.
October 30th.
October 30th. So
yeah, that's the deadline.
So anyway, all right, Matt. Well, good luck in your training. I will think of you while I sleep in tomorrow morning. But I actually won't because I'll be sleeping.
Yeah, that would be weird.
But Matt, we're proud of you. This is pretty awesome. So the rest of the show, Matt, is all about BYU football. So let's hit it. It's football time, Matt. Less than 2 weeks as we're recording. 13 days from right now, we will be watching BYU football.
Isn't that insane?
Against Portland State.
I saw somebody tweeted out today a picture they were setting to record on their DVR.
Yes.
Is that even the word anymore?
Yes.
On their DirecTV Genie.
I don't even have a DVR right now. I don't even have cable at the moment.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting that you're a cord cutter.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be one of those people it's like people that do CrossFit. Like, you got to tell everybody that you cut the cord. I'm not.
Yeah, or people that run or getting ready for a marathon, they can't stop talking about, you know, those types.
I'm a runner. I love to run. Oh, running's so fun. I have to put tape over my nipples. Anyway.
That's awkward. And it's Band-Aids.
And Band-Aids, whatever. I guess tape would be terrible.
So anyway.
That's the best thing I've ever said.
I think we all know what the hashtag at the end of tonight's episode is going to be. But the football's real, guys. It's
real. Football's
real.
It's coming. It's coming right now. So anyway, Matt, we talked about the offense last week, and we had a few – let's tie a bow on a few things, all right, from last week's preview of the offense, right? The wide receivers, you and I both set on a 0 to 5 scale, 0 to 10 scale. Our comfort level with the wide receivers was like a 5. Okay.
Yes.
So there's a couple of things that came out, and we only recorded like 5 days ago, so it's not that much, but they've practiced most days since then. Jared Lloyd of the Daily Herald had a piece a couple days ago about Bo Tanner. And basically talking about how he's looked so far and, you know, how maybe he's kind of a target going forward. So how are you feeling about Bo Tanner?
Well, you know, like we talked about last year, I think there's, you know, we know a little bit last week. We know a little bit about what we have in Trenuman. And it was beyond that where we are into a little bit of an unknown territory, unknown situation with the rest of these receivers. So, and I believe a few weeks ago when we talked about the things that we would be looking for in fall camp, one of the things I mentioned was how the chemistry is developing between Tanner Mangum and some of these receivers and tight ends. So stories like this, I think they're encouraging that, we have some of these, some receivers starting to stand out a little bit. Some of these receivers starting to get some attention. And, you know, we can talk about Bo Tanner. We can talk about Talon Shumway and some of these guys. So I think we're seeing the types of things that you would want to be hearing in terms of what positions are making some noise and what kind of chemistry is developing between players. So it's definitely a positive sign. I don't know that it's going to blow up my number from a 5, but I did, as listening to the show a couple days later, I feel like my number maybe was a little bit low. So could I get to a 6 or a 7 at this point?
You're such a waffler.
Waffling from a 5 to a 6 or 7? That's not even extreme.
That's extreme.
Says the same guy who 5 minutes ago said that BYU is going to beat Utah this year. But I guarantee you, if we did a rundown of the schedule right now, you would flip that decision.
No, I wouldn't. Anyways, No, I wouldn't.
Right. Well, you couldn't now because I called you out on it. My point is, we're seeing the things that I think we were hoping to see coming out of fall camp. And the conversations and the stories are right. But at the end of the day, all that's really going to matter is, can they make it happen on the field in real competition?
So out of the tweet bag is Jeff Johnston. That's at JeffJBYU. You already kind of answered this question. Any change of heart on the receiver since the last podcast? Rumors are that Shumway likely to be the number one guy, which is interesting because I don't think either of us picked him to be the guy to lead the team in catches. I don't think so.
No, you picked Trenneman, and I picked MLP, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So let's see that. Over under. Yep, you are correct. Good memory there, buddy. Good memory.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Good for you, bud. So
good for you, little buddy.
I don't feel any differently. Nice job, you. I don't feel any differently. Until these guys prove it on this field, we have no idea if these guys are any good against live action. We just don't. I don't know. That's not any knock on these guys. They may end up being a better group. And I think you and I have talked about this on previous podcasts. I think there is a decent shot that we have the best group of wide receivers that we've had in the last few years. And I think there's a decent shot that we don't. So until we see these guys, there's talent. But like Shumway, is he going to be the number one guy? That'd be awesome if he can do it. And obviously there's a lot of speed potentially, but again, we talked about this last week. Speed doesn't equal receptions necessarily. So anyway, Matt, another story to come out, and this was out of the Deseret News, which, by the way, you can find this show and other great podcasts at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Jeff Call wrote about BYU junior offensive lineman J.J. Nwigway?
I'd say Nwigway.
Nwigway? See, there you go. That's why we have you on the show, to clean up my terrible pronunciations. So anyway, he has been, you know, he's an offensive tackle, and then the other day in fall camp, he played tight end, Matt, and made a catch, and people reacted like he had just won the Super Bowl. So,
well, people love to see big guys with the football, right?
Yes. And this guy is a big guy, 6'5", 275. He's going to be kind of a hybrid. I think what we'll see mostly is he is going to line up as a tight end in short yardage situations, right? And this, getting him a chance to catch some passes, just means you're setting it up so that either you can have some plays, or if nothing else, this is just fodder so that a linebacker sometime later in the year when he's lined up thinks, at least for a moment, what if they send him out on a pass, right? So I don't think he's going to be our leading pass-catching tight end, so before people get too excited.
Yeah, I don't see this. This guy's not going to be our, you know, leading tight end. But I'll be honest with you. This story makes me nervous.
Why does it make you nervous? They do this with guys, offensive linemen, all the time.
If we had a standout tight end.
Oh, stop it.
This wouldn't be a story.
Oh, stop it. It's always a story when a 6'5", 270-pound offensive lineman catches a pass in fall camp.
But my point is, if we had a standout tight end. How big is this guy again? He's huge.
6'5", 275.
Your 6'5", 275 offensive lineman wouldn't be catching passes in practice.
Yes, he would. They always do this. It's just fun. They're just like messing around.
They're gonna have two jerseys on the sideline for him.
Well, that's not that uncommon in college football because of the rules with where you can line up with what numbers. So, I mean, he's going to be a blocking tight end out there on short yardage situations. And if he breaks out and catches a touchdown pass on a third and one, at the third and goal in the 1 yard line, like, that's not a bad deal, right? Like, if Bushman's lined up in that situation, he's going to get coverage. Right, this guy lines up; they're not going to cover him. So I think you're just being a
Okay, hopefully it's just a fall camp gimmicky story, right?
It's a fall camp.
There's only so much to write about.
As a former reporter, this is the kind of thing you love. And there's now footage of it on social media, so you can link to in the story. It's click gold, clickbait gold, Matt. The other one to come out that I thought was interesting was from friend of the podcast, Jay Drew. And his coverage of the fall camp, where he talks about that Bo Hodge is the front runner as the backup to Tanner Mangum. Matt, no surprise here, because both of you and I thought Bo Hodge would be the guy if something happened to Tanner.
Yeah, he's the guy, right? I mean, I think that's been pretty clear for a year,
right?
That he would be the guy at this point.
Yeah, yeah, and that's no disrespect, of course, no disrespect to Mr. Detmer, the other backup. So, we're gonna see hopefully little of either of them. Nothing against either of them, right? But I think Bo Hodge is the guy you're gonna see if Tanner goes down.
Yep.
All right, Matt. Second scrimmage happened. We had a tweet bag question about that. Ryan Sorensen, that's at RJ Sorensen on Twitter. He said, BYU, what is the biggest story from the scrimmage? The D forced 7 turnovers or the O gave up 7 turnovers? Hashtag tweet bag. Matt, I hesitate to make anything out of scrimmages a big story.
But, I mean, weren't all 7 of those turnovers with, I mean, I don't want to go back and rehash Bo Hodge, but wasn't Bo Hodge running the offense on all of those? Or is that not true?
I'd have to go back and look. I don't know. I don't remember, but I think a majority of them were Bo Hodge and or Coy Detmer. The other part about this is, weren't we 5 days ago talking about the first scrimmage and we were all worried about the defense and the offense was going to be top 40 and maybe the defense wasn't as good as we thought it was going to be? This is the type of yo-yo fall camp thing that happens, right? Because
it wasn't Hodge. I just looked that up. So he wasn't in for all of them.
Right.
But still.
And the other part is, like, as we saw last year, this defense is going to be, this is not the play safe, which, by the way, I loved the former defenses. Okay. So this is not a knock on Bronco Mendenhall, because I actually thought his defensive philosophy was fine. But these guys go after the ball and try to get turnovers, right, in this new scheme. So to me, this is just a fall camp deal where the defense is going for turnovers and the offense made probably too many mistakes. It's not a big story to me.
And the pendulum in fall camp is going to swing back and forth like this, probably like on a daily type of basis, right?
Like crazy. Okay?
Yeah. So if I had to pick, right? So if I just take Ryan's question on its surface, and let's just say I had to pick between those two, I'd probably say that the D is the biggest story.
Yep, me too.
If you look back earlier in camp, people were nervous. I was this defense; these guys know what they're doing. I think this proves that they can have a great day too, and that was the question that was in a lot of people's minds. So I think what we've learned here is that both units are progressing, both units are capable of getting better and adjusting and have some players on them and have playmakers on both sides of the football. Yeah. So if I had to pick between the two, that's the one I would pick and why.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree with you. I completely agree with you. Well, Matt, it's time to preview the defense. Last week we previewed the offense. This week we're previewing the defense. Let's start off with an interesting question from our friend Andre Hutchins. Well, my friend. You two have some type of strange internet feud, but I don't.
No, I think we're friends. I think we put the internet feud away.
Well, that's up to Andre to.
I mean, he even used the hashtag robots love the SEC.
That's true. He did. He did. So that's at AC_Hutchins.
And climb on in the tweet back.
Hey, you're stealing. I read the tweets.
Sorry, I'm just excited about this one because he used two great hashtags.
You're killing me here, Smalls. Who are the top NFL draft prospects on the defense this year? Then he adds a qualifier, Matt. I had all these things to say as I'm reading his tweet. And then he says, only for next year's draft. Hashtag climb on in the tweet bag. Hashtag robots love the SEC.
Yeah.
So, robots. Now, here's the thing. Who do I think is the best NFL prospect on the roster today? Take out his qualification. I think it's Taki Taki. Who could go pro next year, by the way. He would be eligible to go pro. 6'2", 245. He's got a good motor. Kafusi might be another one. Again, but neither of these guys are likely to be in the draft next year. So Matt, I don't really have a good answer. I guess it's Fred Warner, right?
Yeah, that's tough. But if it's somebody that could be in the draft next year,
yeah, it's Fred Warner's got to be it.
He's got to be the best one. There might be a couple guys in there, right? But
I don't know if there's anybody else, honestly. I think he is the guy. If Taki Taki and Kafusi are not in the discussion, I think Fred Warner is the guy. I think he's one of the best linebackers in the country. And then you've got next to him, which I think only helps because you can't scheme for him as much, you've got Bernard and Powell around him, right?
Right.
I don't think they're as good as Warner, but they're good enough that you can't just leave them alone.
But you could have a guy like and you get this every couple of years, you get a guy who goes to the combine and impresses with his skills. Yeah, so, yeah. Somebody like a Hanneman maybe
could
pull something like that off.
But I think it's Warner if we're just talking about next year. So we're already talking about the linebackers, so let's just keep talking about the linebackers, man. So
well, let's do that.
So you're already looking at, Warner. I mean, Warner's the story, right? He's the guy, if you look at NFL draft, there was a story on July 20th, 21st of this year, where NFL draft media analyst Lance Zierlin had a top players to watch at each position, and he had Fred Warner as number 9 out of prospects for next year. And, there's high praise, and I think he's on watch lists and all that other stuff. Is Fred Warner is he the heir apparent here? I mean, he's the guy to kind of the heir apparent to that, Alani Fua Vanoy, David Nixon, recent past of really good BYU linebackers.
Yeah, he's the one. Chosen one.
He's
the last
one.
Jedi.
Oh boy! Wow. Wow. All right.
Yeah,
I feel
like I went over the top.
You did, but that's okay. That's okay. I won't tell anybody that you sent me a few gifts this week that were Star Trek related. I won't mention that because I don't want to. I don't want to make you seem like a bigger geek than you are. So, don't want to do that. So Matt, I look at this group. Okay, you got Fred Warner, who's a potential All-American candidate, NFL player, right? As we just talked about to answer Andre's question. And then you've got around him Francis Bernard, converted running back, who I thought was a terrible decision, and it turned out to be a really good one. So good thing I'm not coaching the team. And then Powell. Matt, Powell is probably my favorite. I mean, Warner's
the crowd favorite, right?
Warner's got the skills, the NFL in his future. Powell's the guy that's all effort, all motor, and, that 19-tackle game he had against UCLA last year. I mean, I love this linebacker core, this group. I love them. Absolutely love them. So, Matt, let's talk about who's behind them, okay? So there's three juniors behind them, Morgan Unga, Adam Pulsifer, and Isaiah Kaufusi. Morgan Pulsifer and Unga, and then underclassmen Isaiah Kaufusi and Tapusoa, as well as a bunch of others. Matt, how confident do you feel, and this will happen, right? They're Powell, Warner, Bernard, these guys will miss some time or need breaks during games. How comfortable do you feel with the group that's behind them?
You know, when we talked about some time ago, players who hadn't, I don't remember what the phrase or the question was, if it was players that we haven't seen a lot of or breakout year type of players. And one of the guys I mentioned was Adam Pulsifer.
Yeah, so for sure.
For all the things you just listed, I feel good about Warner, Powell, and Bernard. And I think we should be excited about that group of three. That is a pretty solid group of linebackers.
Yeah, it is.
But I think, like you said, there will be situations, maybe even games or stretches of games, where one of those guys is down. I mean, you know, Powell had some leg issues last year, and I mean, you just kind of have to expect that to happen. And I still believe that Adam Pulsifer is a guy who's ready to step into that role and fill in. And I feel comfortable with Morgan Hunga. Maybe a little bit less so with Kafusi, but I could be convinced if we see him out there getting
done. He was the defensive MVP in a spring game. How dare you? How dare you indeed?
Right. So I can't remember how you phrased your original question, but I think my point is, I think that the guys behind those original three, those starting three, have enough talent to be able to hold the torch when one of those guys goes down.
I think there is a non-zero chance, Matt, that Pulsifer ends up playing more snaps this year than Powell, even without injury.
Yeah, that's entirely possible.
You're right. I think he's that talented, and he's certainly going to play a lot. Because, again, you're going to have to, even without injury, you rotate some, right?
Oh, there are going to be situational things you're going to try and do.
Yep, so for sure. Right. For sure. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see, for sure, with that group. Matt, two more questions before we move off the linebackers. Is there a chance this is the best group of linebackers we've ever had?
Best group ever? Is there a chance? Yeah, I mean, the chance isn't zero.
Okay. Do you feel like this, when I say that statement, does it feel ridiculous to you?
Okay, it doesn't feel ridiculous, but part of what I would want to see out of the best linebacking unit we've ever had is, I don't know that Fred Warner's the best linebacker we've ever had.
Oh, he's not the best linebacker we've ever had.
And we've had some really good linebackers that had really good complementing pieces to their linebacker core. So, I mean, the chance isn't zero, but if I were a betting man, I would not bet on that.
I don't know if I'd bet on it either, but I just think it's very realistic. This group is deep. They're talented. They've got a couple of potential NFL guys. Like you said, I don't think Warner's Van Ooy, right? I don't think he's as good as Kyle Van Ooy. I don't think, but I think he's better than already. Forget about this next year and see how he plays. Better than guys like Fua and a few others that have been quite good, right? So yeah. in recent past. So Matt, 0 to 10, that comfort level scale we used last year, last week. We keep saying last year. It was just 5 days ago when we recorded last. 0 to 10. How comfortable are you with the linebackers?
I'm gonna go with a 7.
7. That's way too low. You just said 7. You might go up to 7 for the wide receivers. This is a 9. This is a 9 or a 10.
Oh, yeah.
They're that good. 9 or a 10.
No, I think they're good. But what the thing that makes me nervous is the potential for injury.
We just said how deep they are.
Yeah, they're deep. That's good. But, you know, if say one of those guys goes down early and misses that whole initial stretch.
Yeah, that would stink.
That would be tough.
That would stink. I agree. So let's talk about the defensive line now. Now, Matt, this is also a group that is deep. The defensive ends, of course, Taki Taki and Corbin Kafusi are the ones that are probably going to see the most snaps. You've got Trey Jampili, you've got Leo Tau, you've got Tui Fua. So, I mean, this is a deep group, and you got a bunch of sophomores and freshmen. You've got, obviously, Taki Taki and Kafusi as both redshirt juniors, but you got a bunch of sophomores and freshmen behind them. On the tackle list, let's just stick with the defensive ends for a second here, Matt. How, you know, who excites you on this list outside of Kafusi and Takitaki? Because more guys are going to get snaps. They're going to rotate people in. There's going to be situational things. Who's got you excited?
I feel like they're so young when you get past those two. I mean, they're just young.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so I pass, when you get past that, I, you know, maybe Peely or
I like
Leotau.
Leotau. You're right, Leotau. He was the guy that had committed to Stanford before signing with BYU. He's redshirted last year. Spring ball. He's ready. I think ready to roll. I think he's going to end up playing a fair amount. 6'4", 265. So he's a big guy. He's supposed to be pretty fast. I'm pretty excited about him. I think he's the guy after those guys that I think has the biggest chance to be a big impact guy this year.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, Beely's a guy who saw some action last year, a couple of sacks and some tackles for a loss.
Yeah, Beely's good too.
Kind of see how he does. But then you look at somebody like a Tui Fua, who's supposed to be a real serious talent. But I just don't know that he's got the size really to compete, especially in the front half of the schedule. I just don't know that he's there yet. I think that if we were looking at these guys in terms of future potential, that's probably where I would land. But for 2017, I think these first couple of guys with Peely and Leotau are probably the two to talk about.
I think there is an outside shot that he ends up not playing this year and redshirts. And because of his size, if he can't bulk up, I think there's also an outside shot he ends up playing linebacker at some point. But that being said, he's supposed to be quite the pass rusher. That was the hype on him as a four-star recruit. So we'll see how that turns out. But yeah, he's another guy. Talent-wise, is certainly there. And it also, it wouldn't shock me if he redshirts. It also wouldn't shock me if, you know, one of the two, if Takitaki or Kafusi went down, all of a sudden now you've got him as a third down pass rushing specialist.
Right.
Wouldn't shock me either. So Matt, let's talk about the defensive tackles. Obviously, this is a big group. See what I did there?
Stop it.
Terrible joke. All right, so we look at who are the projected starters right now. I think Tausinga and Taniolu are the handsome. Let's just call them handsome. Both seniors, by the way, and maybe those guys could find their way if they have good years on NFL rosters, to go back to Andre's question before.
Handsome came to mind when we were talking before. He's a guy that could surprise.
Yeah, and big guys, 6'1", 300, and 6'2", 310, respectively. You've also got Tavita Moonga and Merrill Taliauli, I think is how you say that. He had a season-ending injury. All four of these guys are going to see a bunch of time because they're going to rotate.
They will rotate. But I think a guy like Handsome, people forget because, you know, he didn't get to do what we were all hoping to see him do last year.
Yeah.
Had some nagging injuries and those types of things. But this is a guy who could have ended up at Texas or Utah or other big-time schools.
Yeah.
And ended up coming to BYU. He was a big get for the program.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, things have shifted around him a bunch since coming to Provo. But this is a guy, like you said before, could surprise some folks and get on some NFL radars. Big size, real serious talent. If he can stay healthy, he could be a guy that would be a defensive tackle we'll remember for years.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a lot of that on this roster as far as staying healthy, because we already talked about, some previous injuries. So this is a big deal. There's other people to watch here as well. Obviously, we talked about Mo Longhi last year. We're going to see him on short yardage situations, if nothing else, in the middle, right? It's 6'7", 4'10". Just moving this guy is going to be. But also, I think you've got Wolf Graham. He's kind of this, 6'6", 285 basketball player. Was going to be a tight end. Now he's a defensive lineman. You know, he played mainly on special teams last year. I think he's one of those guys, as good of an athlete as he could put it together, especially like him if somebody goes down. Hopefully he can step in. Anybody else, Matt, that you're looking at besides Longy and Wolfgram?
No, I think Wolfgram is the guy that, you know, when we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, was at the defensive line slot, is the guy that I thought would have a chance to come in and make some noise. So,
yeah, for sure.
But other than that, I think that's basically, those are the guys to have an eye on the defensive line.
All right, 0 to 10, comfort level scale with the defensive line, Matt.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and, you know, maybe I was a little hard on the linebackers.
You were way too hard on the linebackers.
So the linebackers are probably a 7 or an 8, right?
Okay.
Defensive line, actually, I'm going to land in the 7 slot.
I'm going to also be a 7. So look at you, buddy. You and me agreeing on something.
Well, if you think about it, we've got some potential NFL talent on the defensive line, some real size, a little bit of depth, and plenty of experience.
And great coaching for the defensive line. I think, you know, and if these defensive ends, if Taki Taki and Kafusi can generate a pass rush without blitzing, this will be a big, this will take that defense from being very good into potentially elite status.
Yes, that's what we've been missing, right?
That's what we've been missing.
Is the pass rush.
That's right.
And it helps everybody out if you can get the pass rush on. It totally changes the defense.
You saw when Ziggy and Vannoy commanded double teams without blitzing, when you're just bringing three or four guys, that changes what your defense can do, right? And if they can create that pressure and make the quarterback make some mistakes, for sure. So that'll be interesting. So, Matt, we've covered the interior of the defense. Let's move outward towards the cornerbacks. Another article by a friend of the podcast, Jay Drew, about BYU's cornerback position. He says this is how he starts his story, Matt. Known as Quarterback U, after producing the likes of Jim McMahon, Steve Young, Ty Detmer, and Robbie Bosco, BYU has won a lot of football games over the years by throwing the football. Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to skip a little bit. So is BYU turning into Cornerback U? Now, I think he's overstating it. He's just trying to, you know, make for an interesting story. And obviously, they have a deep, experienced group, even with the loss of Austin McChesney to an unfortunate knee injury. But, Matt, I look at this group. You look at Michael Davis potentially, you know, playing in the pros and some other things. Matt, do you feel like Jay's overstating it a bit, or do you think this group is as solid as he's intimating?
I think it's a pretty solid group. I like you said. I mean, cornerback, let's pump the brakes a little bit. But you look at these guys. It's Troy Warner, Diane Gunmaloku. These guys are pretty good.
Troy and his brother Fred are both going to play in the NFL.
Yep. They are good at football.
They are good at football. Troy is another guy, if we weren't talking about next year, that I would list in that top 10 of guys that could play in the NFL in the BYU defense.
Yep.
So obviously you've got Diane, how do you say his last name?
Gunmaloku.
Gunmaloku, you're the man. You just pull it out. Michael Shelton, McChesney, unfortunately, will not be there. Chris Wilcox. I mean, this is a deep group where I feel like if Warner has health problems again and there's some other things, it's a drop down, but it's not going to be a disaster drop.
No, it shouldn't be, right? On paper, it shouldn't. Chris Wilcox, who's a guy that Guilford and Satake went out and found, it's supposed to be pretty good. We know what we have, while they may be a little bit young, but we know what we have with Troy and Gunmaloku. We know what's there.
Yep.
There's plenty of reason to feel good about these guys. But what I'm really excited about when we talk about the cornerbacks is the future.
Yeah, for sure.
I think about it. These are guys that were starting as freshmen, are coming back, and coming into this season against the type of competition we'll see in 2017. There is plenty of opportunity. These guys are going to be good going forward. And I think you're right. Troy Warner is an NFL type guy.
Yeah, and you got speed. You have some size outside of, obviously, Shelton's a smaller guy at 5'8", but most of these guys are 6 foot or taller. And speed, we historically at BYU, with some very notable exceptions, and I understand that, we don't have great athletes at cornerback. They're not usually the best athletes on the team, right? There's a argument to be made that, you know, two or three of the best 10 athletes on this team are playing cornerback. I don't know if it's even really an argument. It's probably just a fact. So anyway, interesting. Matt, 0 to 10 scale for the cornerbacks on your comfort level.
You know what's crazy is I think I want to go to an 8.
Higher than the linebackers?
The depth here. The depth here is great. The depth
is amazing.
The depth is great. And that's what scares me about the linebackers.
Only upperclassman. Isaiah Armstrong's the only upperclassman. Everybody else is a sophomore.
Which is crazy when you're talking about depth with a bunch of sophomores and new guys.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess Michael Shelton's also a junior, so sorry. I overstepped.
So maybe I'm getting too soft because I was too hard on the linebackers. So now I'm easing up a little bit. But you know, I think there's reason to be pretty comfortable with what's going on at the cornerback spot.
And we might have two guys that can play bump coverage with. I can't say his name. I've got like a mental block. Diane Lake.
Gonmaloku.
Gonmaloku and Warner. If they're both healthy, I think both of them can man up against maybe not all of the top receivers we play this year. LSU has a couple that come to mind that might be tough. But most of the top wide receivers we're playing with, I think you can put Warner over there and let him lock him down.
And you already talked about this, but something that's going to make a huge difference for these guys, for all the defensive backs, is the fact that we may actually put together a decent pass rush in 2017.
It changes everything for a DB.
If that's the case, it changes the whole world for these guys and the way most people will perceive them.
Yes, for sure. Well, let's move on to the safeties, their defensive back counterparts. Matt, this is a group that honestly I don't feel nearly as comfortable with this group as I do with the cornerbacks. Obviously, you lose Kainakua. You do have Micah Hanneman returning as a senior. You know, he's a phenomenal athlete. Hanneman is used to play cornerback. I think was the right move to put him in safety, and I feel really good about him. After that, I don't know if I feel really comfortable. Tanner Jacobson has played a little bit of both free and strong safety, throughout camp. You know, he did play some when he was as a true freshman for Texas Tech. Camille Green, you've got Hadley at the free safety spot. Chaz Au, who I'm really excited about, but I look at this group, Matt. I'm a little concerned about the depth. I like Hanneman a lot, and I think Hadley could be okay. But I'm not going to be shocked if three games in Chaz Au is playing some more than I'd be comfortable for a freshman safety.
By the end of the year, Chaz will be the starter, and.
I'd
like that to be because I think he's a world beater, but I think it'll be just because he'll be the best option.
Yeah.
I think eventually he beats Hadley out.
I am very comfortable with Hanneman. I really like Hanneman at the strong safety spot, and I think he will be very good. He played cornerback, then he, played safety last year. I think Hanneman's a very good player. It's more about the depth to me than it is about who's on the starting lineup that against Portland State.
Oh yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, you look and you say Hanneman, I can feel good about Hanneman. This is a proven guy, very athletic, can make plays, can get to the football. But between both, strong and free safety slots, you go past Hanneman. I don't even know what we're looking at here.
Yeah, I don't know either.
You know, you got a guy who transferred from Washington State who was a walk-on there. You got this true freshman who's supposed to be just really good. And, Hadley, who's bounced around a little bit, even in the last 10 months, in terms of, offense and defense. I mean, it's just
– Yeah, I don't know
that we really know what we have there.
Yeah, so I would say for me it's a 5 or a 6 with the safeties because I like the starters. I'm not sure – the depth makes me a little nervous.
I think I'm a pretty solid 5 here for the same reason, and okay. That's what I've done with other units where there was one standout guy. So, yeah.
for sure. So, Matt, that's the defense. Let's do a little over-under.
Yikes.
You ready to do a little defensive
over-under? Oh, I'm ready.
Are you being – are you – yikes? What are you worried about?
You're going to throw out these numbers, and I don't know what numbers you're going to throw out yet.
Foiling a caper?
We'll see how something. We do. Oh.
Yikes.
Zoinks.
Yikes. Zoinks. Zoinks is next. So let's go to last year's stats. All right? Let's go to last year's stats. Our first over-under is going to be yards per play for the defense. Last year, yards per play for the defense in 2016 was 5.45, which was the lowest we've had since, 2010. So 5.45. Matt, I'm going to set it at 5 because of this schedule, at 5.75, over under 5.75 yards.
What was the number again last year?
5.45.
Okay. I'm going to go under.
5.75. I'm going to go over. I think this schedule, we're going to see some, even as good as this defense is, we're going to see some high stuff. And then the number will drop considerably in the back half of the year.
I think that's what happens, though. In the back half of the year, they're going to just weigh that number down.
Yeah, because there's some games where there's going to be, they will have just incredible defensive numbers against some pretty, pretty bad offenses. So let's go to passing, Matt. Last year, average yard per pass play was an anemic 5.59, which was the lowest they've had in. I'm looking back here. I can't find one lower. So in my numbers, so it's a long time. I'm going to set it at 6 even, Matt. 6 even. What do you got? Over under?
I'm going over.
I am also going to go over. So maybe I did. Too much on that one. Maybe I didn't set that line appropriately. Matt, yards per play on rushing. Okay, last year yards per play on rushing. And again, remember I take out sacks, right? So the yards per play on rushing was 5.33. That was the highest it had been since 2013, when that defense gave up almost 6 yards per carry, Matt.
Yikes.
I think it's going to be much better this year. Let's set that at 4.8, over-under.
Wow. I was all about the under until you said 4.8. 4.8 is pretty low.
4.8 is pretty low. I'm going under.
I'm taking the under. Oh, come on.
I'm going under. I think it's going to be tough to run against the Cougars this year with the defensive line we're talking about.
Yeah, this the bread and butter for this defense is going to be stopping the run.
Okay,
and force teams into passing situations. I mean, this is what they're going to do.
Yeah, and I think we will give up some big pass plays over the top at times. I just think as aggressive as this defense is going to be. So Matt, last year the leading tackler on the team was Fred Warner, 86 tackles. Butch Powell, in fewer games, had 83 tackles. Francis Bernard was third with 79 tackles. All those guys are back, and they were pretty close to each other. Matt, who leads the team in tackles in 2017?
It's Fred Warner again.
No, it's Powell.
Oh, stop it.
It's Powell. If he's healthy, they will funnel. Warner will get schemed for, and Powell picks it up. Sorry, you're just wrong.
We'll see how we do.
No, we don't have to see. We're never going to look at this again.
No, we promised somebody that we would.
No, I don't remember.
That was a deal we made an episode or two ago.
All right, and the last one, which I'm springing on you, it's not on the agenda. Last year, Kainakua had 6 interceptions, all right? And then, of course, Fred Warner and Lake, now, what's his last name?
Gunmaloku.
There we go. Had 3. So the next 3 guys on this, Francis Bernard had 2, are all still on the team. Matt, who has the most interceptions for the Cougars in 2017?
Micah Hanneman.
Dang it. That's who I was going to say. I feel like I got to pick somebody else now.
See, the thing is, well, if it's not him, it's a linebacker.
Actually, I'm going to go with Troy Warner. Why not?
Look at you.
I would say Hanneman was my guess, but I can't do the same as you. That's no fun. That's no fun. Because who wins this? What do we... Because last week we did the offense. If who wins, who gets this? What do we do?
I don't know.
Torchy's Tacos? Prize. Next time we're both near Torchy's Tacos sometime in 2027?
2027.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Matt. Well, Matt, that's our defensive preview. Let's quickly talk a little bit about special teams.
In other words, we're going to talk about Linehan for a minute?
No, we're not going to talk about Linehan. There's no reason to talk about Linehan. He's great. Okay, he's a good punter, and he's an excellent tweeter.
He is a pretty good tweeter.
His tweet game is off the charts. Matt?
It's on fleek, I think, is what the kids say.
Yes. I don't know what the kids say.
I don't understand what that means. I probably shouldn't use things I don't understand.
No, you probably shouldn't. So, Matt, let's talk about the special teams. We talked about kickers a couple of weeks ago. I don't really have any more to say. It's Almond, and hopefully he can kick farther than he has in the past for field goals. Matt, the big thing I'm worried about is who's going to return kicks? So is it Treneman? Is it Hall? Dye? Hanneman? Hadley. Shelton? Hadley? I'm not a big fan of Hanneman returning kicks, by the way, so I just hope for two reasons. I don't want him to get hurt, and I also don't think he's great at it. Okay, so you know, you look at last year as far as punt returns and kick returns, Hefo had the most kick returns, 21 yards per kick return, not great. Hadley was much better, almost 28 yards per return. But again, if he's your starting safety, do you want him returning kicks?
Nope.
I don't know if you want him returning kicks. Punt return, it was Juergens, who of course is gone. 19 punt returns, 8.6. Not terrible, but not anything to be excited about. Matt, I just want, can we get somebody that can get more? Last year our kick return was averaged, and mainly this is Hefo, 21.4 yards per kick return. That's not good. We need somebody. With all the athletes we have on this team this year, somebody's got to do better than that, right? Right?
You hope, but I don't know what we got.
Who do you want to see taken back? Dye? On punts, I'd be okay with Dye. I don't know if on kickoffs.
Oh, on punts, I think I could get comfortable with Dye. I don't know. I don't know what to do on kick returns. Because the guys that I'm comfortable putting back there are guys that we need that are starting in other spots that I don't want to.
But people do that. I mean, in some ways, Hall might be the guy, right? For both. If he's not going to be a starter, if the running back situation is really Burt, Canada, and then Tuilatau, if Hall's not really a player as a running back, do you have him doing – we've saw his explosiveness and a little bit of playing time as a running back last year. Do you have him return kicks? I think it's likely he's returning kicks.
Actually, that's not bad.
Punt returning's a different deal, right? Because you got to have somebody that's got nerves of steel on punt returns. And Hall may have that. I'm not saying he doesn't. But, I mean, that's the one where – and somebody that makes really good decisions, and that's the part where Hanneman always scared the heck out of me when he does punt returns, because it's like the guy couldn't figure out when to do a fair catch or not. You know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right, Matt. That's our preview for the defense.
That's pretty exciting.
Now, we had a tweet bag question from Scott Rapoli from on email about our time capsule, episode 283, where we talked about 1996 and what it would have meant. We're out of time this week. So, Scott, if you're listening this week, we will come back to this in a future podcast. He thinks... 1996, we could have been playing in one of the big bowls, and we could have been playing for the national championship. I do disagree, Scott, and we'll get back to why on a next episode. Matt, we're going to be back next week to preview a game.
A real game.
a football game with BYU in it. We will be previewing it. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I just looking at the schedule, it reminds me that we can't get caught looking past Portland State. All right, we've done a lot of talking about LSU, but come on.
Stop it.
Let's not overlook the, what are they? Are they the Vikings?
I don't know what they are. Does it matter?
Mascot is? They're green and white, right?
They're green, and they're going to get the crap kicked out of them for four quarters, even by our backup. So, even by the third string. Nothing against you, Portland State. Good luck to you. Not really. I mean,
But the hype machine, don't you think by the end of that game, the hype machine's just going to be on full tilt?
And where's Kyle Van Noy to take out their punter? You remember that against, what was that, Idaho State? Remember when he just absolutely leveled their punter and then went and apologized to the coach afterwards? But he just absolutely leveled the poor guy. Guy weighs like probably like 130. One of the best linebackers in the country on special teams, like, takes him out. Anyway, so Matt, next week we will also, besides that, we will predict all of BYU's games. We'll go down the list. We've done it a couple times in the off season so far, and we will do it again.
I can't believe it's really here. This is like Christmas Eve.
We've done it. We've done it three times. Two times we've recorded it. Matt, and we'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it again. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting. How excited are you? Zero to Detmer.
I'm Detmer excited.
Detmer.
This is going to be a fun season. This is going to be a fun season.
Yes, it's going to be an awesome season. I'm really looking forward to it. If you're interested in joining the conversation with us, as I mentioned before, on Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout, on Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout. And Matt, if you like this show and you want to check out other podcasts, there's a couple others that you can check out at DeseretNews.com/podcasts. And we will be back next week to preview an actual football game. Thanks for downloading and listening. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars. Forgiven me, but it'll still be today till I say I'm sorry. Hold it, now I'll watch the hoodwink. Does it make you stop, think? You'll think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish, although I like the shallot Swiss. I like the sushi, cause it's never touched a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes. Big like Leanne rhymes, because I'm all about value. Bert Kemper's got the mad hits. You try to match wits, you try to hold me, but I bust through. Can I make a break and take